And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Hour number two of the Now program on this Tuesday, December the 18th, 2018, 18 minutes past the hour. We have got a great hour coming at you. In the bottom of this hour, we're going to be joined by world-famous mentalist, the amazing Kreskin, who is going to give us his predictions for 2019. And as you know, when it comes to presidential elections and things that go on in the world, Kreskin is rarely wrong, if ever. But we're going to start off this hour with a very interesting guest. He was the ethics attorney during the presidency of George W. Bush. Now, he recently has said that our president, with all the recent comings and goings that have been happening, that there is only one way that President Trump can get out of this whole mess. And we're going to go to this gentleman to help us sort it all out, Richard Painter. Mr. Painter, how are you?
Doing well. Thank you for having me.
Good. Thank you for joining us today. Now, I want to start kind of from the beginning here. What, in your opinion, are President Trump's biggest problems?
Well, the president has investigations going on and criminal prosecutions. You know, people very close to him. And these investigations and prosecutions are taking place in the Southern District of New York, and also the prosecutions and investigations being conducted by Robert Mueller, with most of the court filings in the District of Columbia. That's in addition to the investigations by the New York Attorney General, and now the House Oversight Committee and the House Judiciary Committee are going to be investigating him. This is a very serious situation.
So at this particular juncture, what could President Trump do? Because it's my understanding that the crimes that he has been implicated in the Southern District of New York, could not be pardoned by whoever would take over from him if he should leave that office. And the catch-22 is if he would leave that office, they would probably indict him the first day that he was not in that office.
Well, yes, indeed. The New York state crimes could not be pardoned by any president. Federal crimes could be, although he cannot pardon himself, I don't believe he can. What he should do, I think, there's enough evidence that he and the various family members of him have committed serious crimes across the board, whether it is the Trump Organization issues or the Trump Foundation, the inaugural committee, the Russia investigation, the payoffs to Stormy Daniels, and the list goes on and on. What he should do is negotiate a comprehensive plea agreement with the New York state authorities and the federal prosecutors, including Robert Mueller, perhaps loop the United States House of Representatives Judiciary Committee into the discussions, where he would resign the presidency in return for leniency on all of these charges.
If he would resign the presidency, would it be a negotiation to where he would get no prison time? Do you think that would be possible, that he could do that with the federal government and the state of New York?
They would have the authority to negotiate whatever type of plea agreements they wanted to. Plea agreements do need to be approved by a judge, and it would be up to the judge to decide where to accept the recommendation.
What are President Trump's biggest crimes at this point? Because we haven't seen the end of the Mueller report. What do you think are the most trouble for him right now?
Well, I think he's in serious trouble with the Mueller investigation. Now, we've had his campaign manager, his deputy campaign manager, his national security advisor, Michael Flynn, all have been convicted or pled guilty to various crimes. And that's in addition to what's going on with the Michael Cohen matter, the Southern District of New York. It's only a matter of time before Robert Mueller has serious evidence of serious crimes on the part of the president. We just know exactly what it is. There's certainly very clear evidence of obstruction of justice. There may be more.
Do you think there's any way that with the campaign manager, the defense, people who've worked in his cabinet, his own personal attorney, all the people who've been indicted, do you think there's any chance that Mike Pence, our vice president, didn't know about anything that was going on and doesn't have an indictment coming his way?
We just don't know all the facts on that. I'm sure he knew a lot more about it than we are aware of right now. what he knew and whether he committed any crimes. That's up in the air. I don't think there's as much clear evidence of the respective obstruction of justice by Vice President Pence as there is by President Trump. He's not as close to the various people involved, but we just don't know at this juncture.
Do you think the country would be okay with that? Just for leaving the office, he would get no prison time?
It depends on what the evidence shows. I don't think any plea bargains can be accepted without having the evidence.
One of the other big questions here is, aside from the vice president, pretty much all of President Trump's adult children worked on the campaign. Would there be something in a plea agreement that you would see that could ever be feasible that would not only let the president avoid jail time, but would it let all three of his children and his son-in-law avoid that same fate?
I think he would probably insist on that. And I think prosecutors probably would want to work a deal that covered the President Trump and people close to him. But once again, it all depends on what the evidence is. The crimes by each of these individuals, including the president, his son-in-law, his daughter, and the list goes on and on. The prosecutors know a lot more than I do right now. So I think President Trump it's doubtful that he'd accept any kind of a deal that involved resigning the presidency unless his family were covered as well.
You know, it's kind of interesting because there is a question right now of whether you can indict a sitting president, and that's kind of up in the air right now. But you certainly could indict any of his children. You certainly could indict his son-in-law. And for a long time, the common wisdom is that if any of them were indicted, President Trump would work a deal where he could pardon them and then he could resign. But right now, that would be problematic for him without a plea agreement for himself, because the Southern District would indict him as soon as he would resign. Is that correct?
I think that is correct. If they were indicted, he might very well pardon them. That would almost certainly torpedo his chances for the 2020 nomination, which means he'd be out the door at the latest in January 2021. And he then would probably be indicted if he were chargeable with crimes. So he might very well do that. And he could pardon them for federal crimes. He couldn't pardon them for state crimes. We just have to see where that goes. But this is we don't know exactly how this is going to play out, but I believe this is the direction it's heading.
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of the major questions I have right now, because I think this is a very serious thing, because people are being indicted, people are taking plea agreements, people are cooperating, people are being sentenced at this point. If there is real crime there and his kids are in real danger, how long does President Trump wait? Because once the indictment comes down, I would think that's going to be even more problematic of his children.
I think it would be. Yeah, I think it would be. Usually, if you're going to cop a plea and work out an agreement with prosecutors, the earlier you do it, the better the deal you get. Now, whether he has a strategy that's different, that involves waiting, we'll see, or whether he's being completely irrational, which may very well be the case given his behavior in other instances, we may just have to deal with that.
But
it's going in exactly the direction where we are discussing. How it exactly plays out, we just don't know.
You know, Richard, I have one question, and again, we don't know the evidence, but over the last few days, we've seen a lot of stuff come out. Contact with Russians. We've got somebody who was a Russian spy now admitting she was a Russian operative. We have got people who were doing lobbying against Hillary Clinton and specifically trying to discredit Hillary Clinton. Is Hillary Clinton just out of luck here, or is there any precedent? Because I keep hearing this, you can't redo the election, but is there finally going to be a point where it's treason was committed, or she won the election, things shouldn't have happened the way they do, and she's going to go to the Supreme Court and try to get this election overturned?
I don't think the Supreme Court would ever overturn the election. That's not going to happen. The only way for her to become president before 2021 would be for the House, the United States House, to impeach President Trump and the Vice President, the Senate to convict, and then have the House of Representatives elect Hillary Clinton, the Speaker of the House of Representatives, to succeed. That's the only way that's going to happen. I think that in 2021, if she were the nominee, in my personal belief, she went and hands down against Donald Trump. If he were on, that is, most Americans are quite understand quite clearly that this election was basically bought up by you know, Vladimir Putin, and the cheating by the Republican National Committee and others in the Trump campaign. So if she wants to be president, she ought to think about putting her hat in the ring for 2020.
Do you think she will? There's been some consternation about that lately, that she hasn't said no. She kind of makes a joke when people are asking her on this speaking tour if she would run again, and she said, I'll run for Prime Minister of Canada. Do you think it's still in her? Do you think she still has interest?
That's up to her to decide. I think she's a viable candidate. There's several other good candidates, but I would have to say that they're at least half the candidates, I would say, have less appeal to the swing voters, the people who she may have lost in 2016, but she could win back in 2020.
Before,
I think she has actual broad appeal to swing voters, that a number of candidates who are more, we just might say, more polarizing than Hillary Clinton could be very problematic in an election in 2020.
Richard, before I let you go, we have the man with the golden voice sitting in here today, Ted Williams. Ted, do you have a question for Richard Painter?
Richard, I just wanted to say thank you so much for coming on, and you've enlightened me on this whole situation and as well as our listeners. But I just wanted to ask you, what would the leniency proposition be for Trump if that was on the table, so to speak?
What
would they be asking for in terms of leniency?
Negotiations. We'd have to see what evidence they have on the president and his family members. And I say Robert Mueller knows a lot more than I do right now. The prosecutors in the Southern District of New York know a lot more than I do because Michael Cohen has been talking with them. So what is reasonable leniency to ask for all depends on what kind of evidence they've got on you.
Oh, is that what it is?
But I think I'd certainly be looking for something without any jail time for him and for his family if I were his lawyers. The question is whether I could get that with a lawyer based on the facts and what he's willing to give in return. But I can assure you he's going to get a lot better deal if he is willing to throw in resigning from the presidency as opposed to dragging this out till 2021 when they invite him as soon as he leaves office.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Richard, I thank you so much for joining us today. You have a happy holiday season, and hopefully we can talk again.
Thank you. Happy holidays.
Merry Bye-bye. Christmas.
Richard Painter, the ethics attorney for the presidency of George W. Bush. Now, Ted, that's a lot to swallow there.
Yeah, it is, and I'm still trying to digest it as well. You know, that's something. Trump's got himself backed up, hands down.
You know, and not taking an opinion on this, but this is really historic that the president has been implicated in crimes in the Southern District of New York, which means that even if he would resign, the vice president could not pardon him because it's not a federal crime. So it's really the first time ever that a president has really
faced... So you think they're going to just go after the family and then hope that hands down he comes across and tries to own up to all this?
My question is, right now is okay, Flynn is cooperating, the lawyer's cooperating, Manafort didn't cooperate, but he's going off to jail. So my question becomes, if the thing is not over yet, who's bigger than these people? Who had more access than these people? National Enquirer is cooperating. The chief financial officer for the Trump administration is cooperating. So who is the big fish? You don't give plea deals to people who aren't the focus of
the whole thing.
Crime. So who's up there? I mean, it would have to be the president or his children.
Yeah.
It's a sad situation.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for Hillary Clinton in a way, too, because I don't...
She gets opted out of the opportunity.
If you were her, would you run again?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. With all the popular vote that she ended up getting, yes.
Even with all this negative that people seem to say, every time people get a break in the action, they just love to say something negative about Hillary.
What is Condoleezza Rice doing these days?
I don't know. I think she does. I think she's speaking on the speaking tour. Okay, yeah, okay, she's out on the speaking tour. She was thought of at one point as somebody who might be pliable for the Republicans for president. I don't know what the Republicans are going to do. What do you think about our governor, Kasich, who's just about to leave?
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. DeWine should fill in his shoes very well. And I miss Ted Strickland and company.
Do you think Kasich is going to make that run for president in 2020?
He'd make a very big mistake, like the rest of them, Ted Cruz and the rest of them try to. Trump is going to do everything. He's going to discredit the media. He's going to do everything he can to keep this. Well, they say his approval rating is still going up. That's what's so surprising.
Well, I think it's because of the country. You know, we're not involved in any wars right now. That always hurts a president.
Yeah.
The economy is doing good, so there's no hurt there, no recessions or anything.
I hear real estate people are really doing well.
So, you know, I think a lot of this financial crimes and so on and so forth and the Russia thing, I think people think, well, he's doing a good job. We can't critique his job, and all this stuff happened before his presidency.
Right, right.
I don't know.
It's touch and go.
It's a messy situation, and it'll be interesting to see what Kreskin predicts for 2019. He'll be doing this momentarily.
Yes, my man.
Because will it be political predictions? Will it be national predictions? Will it be something we don't even know? You never know when it comes to world-famous mentalist, the amazing Kreskin.
The amazing Kreskin.
You never know with that man. He's such a ball of fire.
You know what I saw the other day? You ever watch that movie with Don Knotts called The Incredible Mr. Limpet?
Yes.
I love that movie. I saw it by way of Netflix.
You know something? There's a movie out there that Andy Griffith did prior to the Andy Griffith Show, which was called, it's a black and white movie. It's called A Face in the Crowd. And boy, everybody should watch that movie. I'm not saying why. Just look that up somewhere. Watch the Andy Griffith version. It's called A Face in the Crowd, and you will be very entertained.
Have you seen The Santa Chronicles?
No, I haven't. What's that?
It's on Netflix. It's almost like Bad Santa, you know, with, who is that, Billy Bob Thornton?
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like that in the same vein. It's funny. They got a trailer, man. It's funny as the devil.
What is your favorite holiday movie that if you don't see it, it's not the holiday season?
It's A Wonderful World.
Oh, it's a good Wonderful Life?
Yeah, A Wonderful Life.
You know what? Yeah. I think this is Kreskin, so we're going to step out
for a
minute here and come back with the amazing Kreskin. Momentarily, don't you dare go anywhere.
It's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, right here on WWGH Radio from 12:10 to 2 p.m. Listen to the program for guests like these. The voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid and actress Pat Carroll.
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play. They have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?
I guess.
But there is something fascinated about tacky people, mean people. They're colorful. Good people always seem to be a little bit, yucky. But bad people always have edges to them. That's why they're so wonderful to play for actors. Because you can pick all the things in life as a human being that annoy you or that you would like to do to be really rotten mean. Most people are too afraid to be rotten mean because we want people's approval so badly. And we know that being rotten mean isn't going to get us that. But, villains for actors are the things in the world to play.
You know, Pat, that almost describes our current political situation in this country.
Doesn't it just? I'd never thought of that, but you're quite right.
Join me Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio. We'll take your calls, 740-383-9944, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
And we are back here on this Tuesday, December the 18th, 2018, and something that has become a tradition for about, oh my goodness, it's been over 10 years, I know that, well over a decade, is as the year begins to pass by, we go to a gentleman who's a dear friend of this program to find out what is going to happen in 2019. He's got a big prediction. He's got all kinds of announcements to make. Johnny Carson loved him. David Letterman loved him. We love him here. And during the holiday time, this close to the holiday season, with New Year's and Christmas right around the corner, what a pleasure it is today to welcome to these microphones the amazing Kreskin, and also the family nature of it all, the man with the golden voice, world-famous voiceover artist, Ted Williams, also with us in the studio. Ted and Kreskin, welcome to the microphones.
Hey, Kreskin.
Is that the Ted Williams that you've got on with you, Scott?
He's right here in the studio.
Hello there, sir.
How are you there, Ted?
I'm doing well, sir. I have to say, I am thrilled to hear your voice and to know that you're on the other end, because I grew up with you.
Oh, thank you, Ted.
Man, you are amazing, and I love you, and I wish you the happiest of holidays.
Thank you, Ted. Ted, your name, my brother were still around. He was a tremendous fan of yours, too, but I have to tell you, my career's been kind of, and by the way, and Scott is a very special, you know, Scott, have you met Scott before, Ted? Have you known him?
Absolutely, I have. You know, Scott's responsible for a lot of great things that's happened to me in these past 7 years, since
really?
2011, and he's been very instrumental in catapulting me. As a matter of fact, he was even putting me on the presidential nominee list in 2000.
Are you kidding? Now, wait a minute. This I have to hear. I just got off the floor when I heard the remark, and not that I collapsed. It was just it hit me like a ton of bricks. Scott, can you tell me the story?
Yeah, here's what. We had the presidential election of 2016, which we all remember very well.
Sure.
About a year before that, right after President Trump announced he was running back in 2015, Ted called me one day and said he wanted to come on the show. Ted's been with the show many, many times over
since
the years.
Day one.
And he came to the studio and he announced he was running for president, and he did in 2016, and he made that announcement right here on this show you're listening to.
Yes, sir. And I have to say, fair housing laws, privatizations of prisons and all was my platform there.
Yeah. That's got to be an experience that you could almost write part of a book about, you know, I'm sure.
Yes,
I mean,
sir.
Wow. I say sometimes, and Scott's heard me when I get a little bit sarcastic out. And don't misunderstand me. I have nothing against politicians, Ted. I just wish that most of them had been on the Titanic. But that's not the story. I wish the answer were we could clean house. And I don't want anyone to feel offended if I say that. But when you look at people like George Washington, after he'd been a general, and then he became president, and they wanted him to run again and again, and he said, no, it's time for me to step down and someone else to take over, because we're supposed to be giving something back of ourselves. And it sounds like you're the kind of person that would have that kind of outlook and whatever office you take on, you know. But I'm just going to ask you this before we comment on some of my things. Have you felt that the government nationally has become too large and too congested, or am I wrong in thinking that?
I think too egotistical and arrogant is what populates a lot of the influences that I've seen come out of the political arena. A lot of attitude, a lot of arrogance and ego and all of that.
Yeah, it really, I got to tell you something, I've had some very serious, I have, Ted, when, excuse me, when there's about 5-6 minutes left, let me know, because I want to share something with all, and you're amongst the first all you people, so remind me so I don't run out of time, because I got a lot of interviews now, because and this is one of my favorites, but I do it always before New Year's, because by the way, when I talked to the last time, I did tell you that the airline industry announced a year ago that I've flown a little over 3.5 million miles now.
Wow.
3.5 million. And it's been a Ted decided he didn't want to become a passenger with me because he couldn't take that much. I'm only kidding. It's just and did you hear? Did you folks hear? As of 2 months ago, that the bathrooms in the airlines are now going to be tiny. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't hear about this. Tiny.
This is insane. This is. I'm sorry. This is. They're not sure that everyone's going to be able to fit in them, but off the record, because it was told me by some professional people who know what's going on. They found out by closing down the size. I suppose the bathrooms are small already. By the way, when a couple of the network news broadcasters gave out the news, they said, I can't even believe I'm saying this as a news piece. But no, but the background that they didn't tell is that with the bathroom smaller, they can add 4 to 6 more seats in the airplane.
Oh my God.
I'm not going to talk about the word greed, except that it sounds like greed, but with nothing to mention the word greed.
Downsizing the toilet.
You know, that's a problem because those airplane lavatories are not very accommodatable to begin with.
Yeah, they're small to begin with. By the way, talking about what's happened in our culture today, and this is, it's fascinating, the interviews I've had, including now in England, about this. But I have a prediction to make, and I got a call about 7 days ago from some sociologist and said, Kreskin, did you know about this? I said, know about what? I said, no one's told me about this. They said, we're researching this, and wait till you hear how close to home you are. What's happening now, you're going to have this happening more and more with people of late high school and people of college age, is that they're going to have one factor in their lives that if they were to make a list of things, and there's a certain organization that does an international survey every year or two, and they put down what they like most, what they miss, and what so forth. One of the things that college students are going to mention that's missing in their lives are you ready? Friends. You heard me. Friends. And now when I talked about this, and I've been talking about this, I have found out, they said, Kreskin, will you see a report that's coming out that we feel that 30% of college students have no friends. Now, I said this to you many times in the past, Scott. You show me a person that has 200 friends on the internet, and I will show you a very lonely person. By communications and, quote, friendships being by the pressing the button and quick answers and what have you, that's not the interpersonal relationship that's made real friendship. And isn't it interesting? They feel it's going to be 30% that have reached this point, because there are some people that have cell phones in their hands for 8 hours in a day. Can you believe that?
You know, Kreskin, I would only bring this up with you because we go way back and we're friendly. And I would love to let people know that here's a real friend, because every year, see, this is different than internet, because I've rallied against this for years.
It is different. Yes, it is.
Kreskin sends me every holiday time a Christmas card.
Right on.
I get Kreskin's Christmas card.
That's friendly.
And I put it on my table at home, and you know, people can look at it. And interestingly enough, because Kreskin heard that lavatories were going to be downsized this year, he downsized the size of his Christmas card.
You know, I look at every. I send out a few thousand cards, but I look at every single card that I send out, because certain people who are receiving them have a very special rapport with me, and you are one of them. I have a picture of you sitting in front of me here. I would recognize you, but it just gives me a more personalized feeling that I can talk to you in this way. The other thing is serious in another way. You know, as you know, Scott, I've been involved in a lot of crime cases, investigating them in my life. I'm not a policeman, but I've worked on it's 86 crime cases. I think it's four more than since last I talked to. Now, not that I was able to solve every crime case. No, I've been able to help in about a third of them, not by some crystal ball, but I've been able to work with victims and police who've been, whose memories have been jarred and what have you, to clarify things as well. What's going to happen? And boy, have I gotten calls from police investigators that say, Kreskin, you have said something very, very specific. You're going to see, that, and law enforcement, sadly, is going to see this happening in this coming year, 2 years. You're going to see a less amount of people who are going to come forward and be willing to act as witnesses and regarding a crime and what have you. And the reason is becoming very serious and very obvious. In certain cities in the United States, and I travel the world, but some of the cities and some of the outer source is from out of the country, gangs are building up, and some are very solid, hardcore criminal gangs. Many of them are from overseas, but that's beside the point. They are gangs. And as a result of this, people who even say and see store break-ins and so forth are afraid of reparations and retaliations if they come forth as witnesses. It's a very sad thing to hear at this day and age in our culture. But as you and I have talked about, Scott, our culture has changed immensely in recent years, seriously so.
I agree. Now, Kreskin, we've got exactly 10 minutes here.
How many?
We got 10 minutes. So we want to start, before we get to the big announcement, in the five-minute mark, what are the big predictions for 2019?
Well, let me tell you this, because there are more themes of what is going on. By the way, and I got to tell you this because everybody, it's gotten in the news and everything else. A few months ago, I told you, remember when Facebook had the scandal and they found out that I had in a press conference 6 years ago said that Facebook would have a scandal 6 years to this month, and they had the headlines reproduced with some New York papers and so forth. I did predict it exactly 6 years because I the stress, you know, the fact that confidentiality is not the source. You can't keep information confidential. So you got Facebook, Twitter, and Google. But in eight years, two of those three companies will be out of business. They will no longer exist. That's how fast things are changing in our culture. The other thing, by the way, is yes, Hollywood will inevitably disappear. And don't misunderstand me, it's a part of our lives, and we all know Hollywood and so forth. But more, California, as I'm sure you may have discussed already, is having less and less mid-class society. It's either the poor or the very wealthy and what have you. Less and less mid-classes. I mean, who would think in San Francisco you have ever dreamt that it was permissible to defecate on the streets or on the sidewalks and not be reprimanded in any way? But that's now allowed today. And you don't believe me? Ask some people who work and live in San Francisco. I love this city at one time. But Hollywood is going to be disappearing. And I know the Academy Awards have lessened in their ratings and what have you, but we got such a plethora of communications right now that people are not latching in as they once did. For example, one thing, and tell me if you think otherwise, you no longer hear in the United States, which 20 years ago, 30 years ago, when do you hear anymore people whistling a tune? You don't even hear people whistling anymore. Oh yes, once in a while they do. But it's that rare. We're not attaching to something that maybe because of an ongoing musical series or a song that catches on and that other people hear and want to emulate and so forth. The contagiousness is gone. It almost reminds you of Sundays, because there was a time in Sundays when people sat around a table, or on Fridays if they were Jewish, and would sit and congregate and eat together and communicate. Even Winston Churchill, in the darkest days of England, once a week sat with his family and his sons around a table and they had dinner, so Winston could teach and communicate with them what was going on and so forth. But the word that's disappearing in the United States today is a word that a lot of people don't know how to define. That word is neighborhood. Did you hear me, Scott? Neighborhood.
Neighborhood.
I'm asked constantly today, if I were being interviewed in depth by reporters when I come in different cities, one of their favorite questions, and this is a common question, my road managers say, they asked you that also. I said, it's on their mind. They say, Chris, you travel all over the world, but you do travel a lot in the United States and Canada. What do you notice as a difference? And I can tell you the main difference I notice, and I can also tell you how many reporters have nodded their head and say, boy, you are right. As you travel through small towns, USA, you no longer see as often kids playing on the streets, on the sidewalks, or on the grass. Mm. Where are they? Would they be inside with a little device in their hands? Because years ago when we were kids, we didn't even have toys. We couldn't afford to buy a toy gun, so we used our fingers and played cops and robbers. But kids are not using their imaginations anymore. And that, to me, is one of the greatest dangers we have. Because I read when I'm home 4 books a night. My new book is coming out in the spring. It's my 21st book, and it's dealing with my career and my work and everything else and so forth. But you read entrepreneurs, and they all were able to step away from meetings, conversations, phone calls, and just reflect and look at a panorama in their lives of what they thought about, what they just heard or saw. People are not doing that anymore, and that's what young people have to learn to do. Otherwise, going to college is going to be a waste of time in the business world. And I don't mean that cruelly. I mean that realistically. Can I share something I'm so excited about with you before time goes
by? Go ahead. We got 6 minutes. Go ahead.
Scott, you folks in your state, I want to thank you people that have sent me these emails. I've gotten thousands of emails from everywhere, from England, what have you, and I appreciate the congratulatory feeling behind them. But the reason is, Scott, that we announced a little more than a week and a half ago, and it's now set, and the contract is everything is signed, and that is a new motion picture has begun production on the life of yours truly.
Oh, congratulations.
Wow.
And it's being written by Patrick Coppola, and we're very excited about it. I it's not an ego trip for me. It's a very moving thing just to hear about it. I can't believe how many people are sending messages saying, get the right person to play you. Who's going to play you? But it's going to be from my childhood on, because I've had, as you know, talking to you about things, I've had so many experiences through my life, starting, you know, when I was in grade school on up, and it's exciting. That's all I can tell you. And
Robert De Niro will play you.
Someone else said, another guy, and I can't think of his name, was an actor, but it's going to be interesting. Now, of course, they will... They're going to have to avoid certain factors lest I go into prison. I'm only joking. I'm only joking. If we can't, you know, gentlemen, if we can't laugh in this day and age, as I said over and over, we're in damn trouble.
We're
in real trouble.
We certainly are. And Kreskin, here is my question, because as our tradition now for a long time with these New Year's predictions, I always ask you a question of my own for 2019, and I've got the right one here. It's a broad question. And we're going to see what the answer is. This is live radio here. Now, will, this is my question to the always right, amazing Kreskin.
Well, not always right, but I'm proud of my ratings. But what's the question?
Here we go. high question. Will the same president we begin 2019 with be the one who's there at the end of 2019?
In other words, we're just saying, will that president survive his entire term?
Yeah, well, I mean, by resignation, impeachment, plea deal, whatever, when 2019 starts, I'm pretty sure President Trump will be there. But when it ends, will he still be there in office?
Yeah. By the way, I'm curious, how does your friend feel about how do you feel about that?
Ted, let us know before Kreskin gives our prediction.
I personally hope he doesn't be the same person at the end of 2019.
Really? You don't think he'll survive the
No, I don't think
year.
He will. Okay. I think the indictments will come up and then he'll be on his way.
What do you think, Kreskin?
Yeah. I don't... you know, I don't have as strong a feeling about this, and probably that part of the reservations is because I performed in this home, you know. I don't know him personally, but I've been, you know, they brought me in and so forth. This is before he was president, what have you. But I have, if I were to place a bet, and not a lot of money, maybe a few thousand dollars, what have you, I would think he's still going to be there, Scott. What do you think, Scott?
You think he's going to survive the year? I don't know. You know, I
know. I know. I understand exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because there's so much, and you know, and you have a leverage of an entire party that's against him and what have you. And by the way, I'm not defending. Don't misunderstand. You asked me a question, not how I feel one way or the other as a person. But I, you got a large leverage of force against him, and that's a very heavy, heavy amount of material. I think part of the exhausting part of our government situation is that, you know, I don't know if Russia tomorrow is going to attack us, because we've spent over a year and a half investigating, you know, the Russian conspiracy and so forth, which was, I think, at the expense of our government doing something constructive for the nation and what have you. But that's only my opinion. At the same time, I think that we will realize that the greatest threat in worldwide right now is not that, but China.
Kreskin.
And I don't think that, and I think in the case of China, I think it's economic, nothing to do with bombs and everything else, you know.
Right. Now, Kreskin, I'm only going to ask you this with our last minute here, because actually, I believe, 5 years ago, you made this prediction first on this show, and it's become the same question again, so I'm going to ask it because we're heading into that year where a lot of people are going to be running for office. And I asked you, I believe, 6 years ago, I believe it was 14 going into 15, would Hillary Clinton run for office for president? And you said yes. Well, we all know she ended
before, up... That's before she ran for president. When you asked me that, it was...
Yes, it was long before. Long before she announced, 5 months
ago. You're wondering
if
she's going to run again for president?
Because there's a lot of question of that right now.
You're asking me?
Yep. Will she run?
No, she won't.
She won't run again?
No.
Okay.
Well, she may run, but she'll trip.
On her way to the airplane lavatory.
Yes, and get
now, listen,
stuck in the downsized toilet.
You got me. Then people are going to be annoyed with what I'm saying and what have you and so forth. And but you asked me that question. How many? That's 6 years ago, huh?
Yeah, 2014. Yep.
Yeah. Yes.
But
yes.
But this time you don't believe she'll run.
You're talking about Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
No, I don't believe she will.
She won't run. Oh, that's, it's a way to go. Now, Kreskin, as I always say.
Now, we're not placing bets on this because, you know, I don't want to mortgage my house because.
No, you don't want to do that. Well, Kreskin, there is no better person.
Scott, we have to get together in person sometime. I got to work in your area because I'll come on the air a couple of days with you for the whole program and things like that. You know, you're
God.
A great guy to work with. You really are.
Kreskin, I remember the show we did one time. We did a face-to-face one time live from the Wellington Hotel in New York City, right next to Carnegie Hall. You remember?
That's right. That's exactly right. It was in New York City.
Yes.
That's right.
You and Phil Donahue that day. It was a good day.
Remember? How many years, Scott, how many years ago was that?
That was not 2 years ago. Hendon,
that was only because it was a short time ago. I couldn't believe it that I'm seeing you in New York City. But what, were you there for a convention or something, Scott?
No, we did a week of shows. We had Phil Donahue, Kreskin, we had Pat Carroll, the actress, and Jim Fowler.
You were on
in.
A whole week there. That was
wonderful.
Very special.
Jim Fowler of Wild Kingdom.
Wild Kingdom was there. I believe he was on right before Kreskin. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and I want to tell you, it was a spirit of good old time radio, because as you folks know, radio has changed in some respects these days. So it's not, we all know that. But you have a great spirit. You see, as you know, one of the heroes of my life, a misunderstood man, but legendary, and Steve Allen, before he died, you know, sent me material and said, please do his life story. And a guy that worked for David Letterman said, my God, Chris, you know more about him than we do. And that was Arthur Godfrey. And because he was a legendary figure. And the stories about him are fascinating. I could sit with you for the next 3 hours and tell you, you know. So that's another, because I'm fascinated with people like you who have a great communication ability, you know, and so forth.
Well, here's what I want to say, Craig. I appreciate all that. And in 2019, we've come to New York, so we're going to hope you come to Ohio.
Oh, well, you've got to let me know when.
Oh, you! Anytime you want to come, we'll fire up the jet. We'll get it moving,
and we'll have an accommodating lavatory.
We will. Chris,
hey, listen, it is a joy to talk to you both of you. I wish you I probably won't get to touch base with you before Christmas because I got one of those crazy schedules. But after when the book comes out early next year, but the movie is an exciting thing as well.
It is.
Folks, and we'll Godspeed and Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And as I always say to you, Scott, I'm not going to say goodbye, but in the spirit of broadcasting, in the traditional great spirit that was real radio broadcasting, let's just say, to be continued. Okay, gentlemen?
Congratulations on everything, Kreskin, and happy holidays.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, God, the amazing Kreskin.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you, folks.
Thank you. Oh, Kreskin, he's been on so often. I will have to do a count sometimes of how many times he's been on with me, but he's always high energy. It's
yes,
great.
Yes, he is definitely a wealth of words.
He's on the A-list on the guest department.
We love him.
We love the amazing Kreskin. Well, Ted, we've had a great day today.
Yes,
tonight.
Absolutely.
Tonight, the Christmas party, 7 to 9 p.m., supported by Domino's Pizza. And who knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Oh,
my God.
It's going to be fun. And listen, I want to give Santa Claus's address.
Again, please
give
do.
Santa a letter and get some mail to Santa. It's Santa Claus, Post Office Box 1, Santa Claus, Indiana. And the zip code is 47579. Scott, I love you. Thank you for bringing me into Marion. I'm going to try to settle in, my wife and I, and be a Marion resident.
Do sign us off today.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of my service mission, of our service mission, till we return to burn right here at the studios here in Marion. Brother man, sister too, if you can, be nice to someone short. You never know when someone short has to be nice to you. If you're driving on the highways and the byways, or if you're in the street on your feet, do remember to take it with care to get there. Until next time, Marion, we love you. Have a good one. May your God be with you. Bye-bye.
...deserves the right to question any and all prize winnings. The WWGH offices are open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for prize pickup. The WWGH offices are located at 559 East Center Street in the lower level of the Beltone Building. Thank you so much for playing fair.
This is Patty Wooster with Marion Midget Football, a staple of the Marion community for over 45 years, providing sportsmanship, friendship, and exciting competition to our Marion youth, 743-824-558.